coming to you from Mexico City and the FITIC 2019 conference. This is Engineering Influence, brought to you by the American Council of Engineering Companies.
I am pleased to be joined by Michelle Kruger. She's a civil engineer in South Africa, but she's also the chair of FITIC's Diversity and Inclusivity Committee, which is a really important issue because it's something that at ACEC we're really putting a focus on, especially how do we get more diverse, companies looking at increasing diversity in their companies and what it means to the bottom line. And that's exactly the kind of thing that Michelle's talking about. So it's wonderful to have you our show. So what are some of the trends that you're seeing from your perspective at FITIC, an international perspective, and also maybe regionally where you are in South Africa, on diversity and inclusivity in the engineering communities in those regions?
So the FITIC point of view, and this is maybe important to start to tell you where it started. Mm-hmm. It started in Berlin at the FITIC conference there a year ago, where a lot of gender issues came up in the conversations. And then the question came, well, what's FITIC doing about it, right? And it's not to say that the FITIC companies weren't doing anything about it. It's just to say, well, let's look at best practice. Why do you need to reinvent the wheel when there are people doing amazing work out there? So the big function of our committee is to go find those golden nuggets, to see what works all around the world, because obviously what will work in Latin America won't work in Europe, for example. So our mission is to figure out what works, what doesn't work, disseminate this information to ensure that you don't spend cost in trying to implement something that we realize will not work in your region. Mm-hmm. So that's very important to us.
Do you see an interest by member companies coming to FITIC and saying, you know, we really understand where things are going, but we don't exactly know how we should best hire and retain and promote diverse talent?
Absolutely. So this is also something we are eventually going to develop, is a guideline. Mm-hmm. And maybe if there are policies available to say this is successful policy. At the end of the day, FITIC can give guidance, but what works locally will be what works. So coming back to your first question, I've seen that maybe not so much in the European countries, more in emerging markets, that actually diversity is doing really well.
Really?
So what we want to do is to get that more across the board, to put out there what the benefits are to business. Mm-hmm. So as you know, we discussed it, revenue and cash flow can be enhanced. And then very important as well is, if you look at a picture where you're in a boardroom and everybody looks the same, the first question is going to come up, why can't we come up with new ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And if you are not interested in diversity, for me, I just feel that you're losing a whole sector of a market that you could have had.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's all about then covering the whole market, because remember, the public that we are serving is the whole market, right? Mm-hmm. And also to foster innovation and creative ideas. So if I may interject, mm-hmm. we've started a survey, mm-hmm. As FITIC, as a committee, and I'm so excited about the responses we've been receiving. So first of all, we haven't even been running the survey for 3 weeks and we had 50 responses.
Okay, great.
And the responses have been 40% from CEOs and managing directors of companies, which is exactly who we want to respond.
Exactly. The C-suite needs to be engaged.
Yes.
They need to be leading this whole charge.
It must come from the top down. And my function is not to try to set quotas. I want them to see the value.
Exactly. And then I've seen statistics on, like you said, the innovation gap in revenue. That if you have, like you said, if someone is pitching business and everyone around the table looks the same and is coming from the same perspective,
exactly,
it's hard to innovate, because people without the benefit of different life experiences or just coming from things a different way, that creates better ideas and, you know, innovation. And that there is a gap that you will be losing business, and the firms that are investing are having greater revenue and greater profit margins because of that investment.
And I would want to dispel the myth that diversity is about gender and feminism. It's not. It's about making more money for your company and showing you the value in that.
Mm-hmm. It's not just gender. It's also age, and it's also geographic.
And race, religion, even diverse point of views. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you can have personalities. You can't have the same personality all around the table. Then you're also not going to come with diverse ideas and innovation as well. So like you said, it can be, and especially coming from the age point of view, currently at FIDIC, you know, we're discussing technology. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to keep up with all the changes of digitization, AI, big data, 3D printing, these very important things when you only have maybe an older sector of the market working for you? Mm-hmm. Young people are fearless. They see the value in smart devices, and that's where the future of our industry is going.
Yeah, exactly, because it's like, and you know, I think the statistic, like I mentioned earlier before we started, is that by 2025, 75% is going to be millennial workforce.
Absolutely.
And that's a generation that was raised on social media, raised when the internet was in its heyday already. And their perspective and the way they approach things is completely different than even my generation, which is just, you know, the tail end of Gen X, where it's like, I can't even think that way. It doesn't compute. Yeah. So that's really important. I mean, we see that a lot in the United States, and we see an interest, of course, in encouraging STEM education.
Yes.
And I imagine that is replicated across the world. Do you think any region is doing a better job than others in trying to promote that?
I must say, from a region point of view, I can't talk. Mm-hmm. I don't have data on that, but I can tell you what FIDIC's doing.
Yes. Tell us what FIDIC's doing.
So I'm also very honored to be a mentor for what was previously called the Young Management Training Program. Mm-hmm. From next year, it's going to be called the FIDIC Future Leaders Management Certificate.
Okay.
So we want to take out the derogatory portion of young, because a lot of these people who are coming on the training program are actually some of them in their 40s, CEOs of companies, and they see the value of what we are trying to teach them. Mm-hmm. So the training is based on the FIDIC Guide to Practice, and the Guide to Practice is also based on the pillars of FIDIC, which is sustainability, quality, and integrity. Mm-hmm. But we also do additional things like teaching engineers how to do business development, which does not come naturally.
It's not directly trained. That's always the question I have for our CEOs. It's like, you know, they, especially for the larger companies, it's that they went to school to be engineers, and now they're CEOs, and that filling in that gap of understanding business development and just management and all that.
All of that. Especially one of the things we pick up is finance. Mm-hmm. Understanding how do we calculate fees.
Yeah.
Because as a young person, you see, I'm getting this salary, but I'm invoicing this much larger amount.
You don't see the difference of what goes into it. Yeah.
So we make them understand what that factor is made up. Mm-hmm. You know, the factor versus your salary, overheads, insurance, all of these things, so that they know that for you as a CEO, you need to bring in 3 times more money than you're actually paying the staff member. Yeah. And that if you're not productive, and this is something I feel very strongly about, if you're not productive, then you should be the first person retrenched, because that factor can be between two and three. So we teach them from a young age to be aware of that factor, to know things like, what does your insurance cover and what doesn't it cover?
Yeah.
And these are things that can have catastrophic effects on the company if they're not aware.
And the things that are, you know, perennial issues, insurance, healthcare, retirement savings. But then you kind of tie in with, of course, the topic of this year's convention, which is technology. And of course, having a diverse workforce is understanding how technology can be applied to reduce costs and increase profitability, which goes into that equation.
But that actually adds back to diversity. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we also tell them is make sure that you have a diverse workforce, because you can't have high cost people only. You need to have, if there's something that can be done by a cheaper person, why not?
Exactly. Definitely.
That improves productivity and profitability.
Yeah. So that is fantastic, because that mirrors a lot of the work that's being done by ACEC, of course, in the United States and with member associations around the world. And it's great to learn that FIDIC is really engaged in creating best practices here. And it's great information for our members. So my understanding is also that you have a book that just came out and got a United States publisher. So you're going to be published in the United States. And tell us a little bit about the book and the title and where it might be found.
Okay, so the book is called The Development of Women and Young Professionals in STEM Careers. Mm-hmm. The book was written by myself and a colleague, Hannah Linau. She is also an amazing woman. She's on the board of DNAL, which is the South African Defense Force.
Okay.
So she's an industrial engineer. She's a previous vice dean of University of Johannesburg engineering faculty. So between the two of us, what we did is we put together our mistakes, if you may. So I've been a motivational speaker for quite a long time now, especially for female engineers. So I've been telling people, don't make my mistakes. Learn from our mistakes, then you make your mistakes and you write your book.
Exactly.
So what I also try to do is I try to make the book funny, and I love food. So I draw a lot of analogies to food as well. And I feel that if somebody's laughing over something, they'll remember it.
Yeah.
And obviously laughing at my mistakes is fantastic, right? Sorry. So I've been very honored that it was picked up by Taylor and Francis. Mm-hmm. And so the book is available currently on Amazon.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, yes.
I think everybody should check that out, because it's a very important issue for the future of the industry. And it's a good source book for learning from past events and what CEOs might be able to do to avoid those maybe departures or curves and hit their goals and objectives a little bit.
Yes. And also thanks goes to the publisher as well, because now they like the book so much, they've asked us to write 4 additional books.
There you go. Congratulations.
So watch out for the next
Fantastic.
One. Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming on, and I really appreciate your perspectives, and look forward to the rest of a great conference.
Thank you so much. This is an honor to be asked for this interview, and I appreciate all the support that can be given to diversity and everything that we're doing for FIDIC.
Fantastic. Well, this is Engineering Influence being recorded, not so much broadcast live, but from FIDIC 2019 in Mexico City. Thank you very much.
Thank you.